Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. I'm Dave Selecki, and this week we have Matthew Skoltz as our guest. Moto America, the home of AMA Superbike Championship, featuring 190-mile-per-hour superbikes, is the official sponsor of Pit Pass Moto. Moto America, the official AMA road racing series for North America, can be found at MotoAmerica.com. 9 rounds of the best racing on two wheels, airing live on Fox Sports. All 20 Hono Superbike races air live, as well as King of the Baggers and the Liquimali Junior Cup Series. And also find Moto America Rewind and Inside Moto America. They all air live on Fox Sports. Supersport races air live on MAV TV. Miss a minute of action, practice, qualifying, and races in video on demand with Moto America live streaming. Go to MotoAmerica.com for further information. Here's the latest news in the industry. We have no racing updates this week, but we do have some news to talk about. Eli Tomac and Kawasaki will not be renewing their contract for 2022, and they're going to decide after the AMA Outdoor Nationals to part ways. Looks like Eli will be joining the Monster Energy Star Racing Yamaha team for 2022. More on that as things develop. In other news, Mert Lawwill from the famous movie On Any Sunday was named the Grand Marshal of the 2021 AMA Vintage Motorcycle Days, which is coming up in July, July 23rd through 25th. Make sure you go and check that out. This week's Pit Pass trivia question is, who has the most Isle of Man TT wins and how many? More on that after our interview with Matthew Skoltz. Welcome back to Pit Pass Moto. Matthew Skoltz, number 11 on the Westby Racing YZF-R1, current Moto America Superbike rider and points leader. Matthew, welcome back to the show, man.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, listen, you got to be excited about the start for 2021 race season. Number one, for getting the season going.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.
And just how things are going. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was a very difficult ending to the 2020 season for me. But, you know, I feel like we came out swinging early, you know, this year, whereas usually it seems to take us a couple rounds to get into things. But it was a pretty successful preseason testing at COTA, which was pretty much the first time that I was riding on the bike since the accident last year at Indianapolis. But I mean, I'm just really, really happy to come off with a win in the first heat and a second in the second heat. I mean, it really put us in a pretty good position as far as the championship goes. But I know it's still really early on, but it's always kind of good just to collect points on the up front and have the other guys chasing you.
Always the best position to be in, to have the guys chasing you, and you're doing a good job of that so far this year. And, you know, we noticed when talking to Chuck Giacchetto last week, that he had a high-level enthusiasm for the new season and just how things are going in general. And I kind of hear it in your voice, too. How's the rest of the team reacting to the success? I mean, you guys have got to be super excited at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's super, super pumped, really. I know we had one or two personnel changes during the off-season, and it seems to be that everyone's bonding really, really well. Everyone's working hard, and it all seems that we kind of have that goal of winning. You know, whereas the previous seasons, it was all kind of with the thought of, you know, if we were the first privateer home, or we could kind of finish second to where Bobier was. You know, this is one of the first years that we pretty much go into every single heat thinking that if we don't win, we did something wrong there. So I think that it's just with that whole mindset that we can be winners, this year has really changed it for us.
Winning breeds confidence, as they say, and you've got some swagger, which is great, and we love to see it because it just, it really helps elevate the team and those around you, and can't be more excited for you. So, I mean, after so many seasons on the YZF-R1, you've spent many, many years on that same motorcycle going back to stock 1000. What's different this year that's really dialed in as compared to previous years?
I mean, I wouldn't really say that there's a whole lot different now, besides maybe picking up a couple of horsepower during the off-season. I think it's pretty obvious to see now that the Alvaca is really, really quick out there, and that might have been something that we were lacking in the 2020 season. But, I mean, otherwise, I think it's just been a pretty slow progressive curve for us over the last couple of years. And I think that we've just been getting better and better, and now we're kind of reaching the peak of the Moto America Superbike class.
You touched on 2020, and I know that was, I think for just about everybody, a very, very strange season all around just because of COVID and all the things that happened. And just for you personally, the way it kind of ended early, what was that like for you? I know you went through a tough injury and had to watch from the sidelines. What was that like?
2019 was the first year that we got the Magneti Marelli system, so that was difficult for us. And 2020 was, I think, one of the seasons that we just got better and better at every single round, and we were progressing up the field, and then we were eventually fighting Jack Gagne for second in the championship. And one of those unfortunate things at the Indianapolis track, somebody crashed, they let oil down, and then I crashed first, and then Bobier crashed after me and his bike hit me, and I kind of ended the season there. But I think last year was just one of those years where we just kind of figured everything out and all of the pieces of the puzzle just started coming together.
Matthew, you're one of those racers who just has it for your age and station in life. You've got a tremendous amount of experience just racing all over the world, but mainly South Africa, where you're from. What's the racing like? What's the state of racing, let's say, down in your home country?
To be honest, I spent my first 2 years of road racing back in this South African 125 championship, and then I went to the Red Bull Rookies Cup for 3 years after that. Then 1 year of Moto2 in the Spanish championship, and then 2 years in the World Supersport Championship until going home in 14, 15, and 16. You know, so I didn't spend too much time racing there, but you know, I think it's the same as most national championships. You know, you kind of always get 3, 4, 5 really, really quick guys that have obviously been racing at those tracks for their whole life. But, you know, when I went back home, I actually didn't win a championship for 2 years. And it was only in my final season back home that I won the 2016 Superbike title, you know. So it just shows, you know, that those guys are flying back there. I just don't think that they have the numbers and the financial support that we do here in this country. You know, looking throughout all of the worldwide championships, there are quite a few South African guys that I was racing with back home, namely the Binder brothers who are now in MotoGP and Moto3. Steven Odendahl is doing the World Supersport. There's a couple of guys that went to the British Championship. So it kind of worked out well that I was always racing against top guys. And I think that that's really helped me elevate myself as a motorcycle rider now.
It seems to be a hotbed of talent. I mean, a lot of them have made it to Moto America, and we see them every weekend. It's funny to me how it kind of moves around the world. There's always one country that has a successful couple of years, and they seem to be the strong one. And South Africa's had their turn, and Spain has their turn. Italy had their turn. It's always interesting how it moves around. And I know that's where really for you, riding and racing started back in South Africa. What was that like for you growing up? How did it start with dirt bikes or how did it begin for you?
Yeah, I started with dirt bikes first. I was about 80 years old. I went to a friend's house and he lived next to a little park. And he had a Yamaha Pee-wee 50 bike, and just kind of, you know, rode it around the park next to this guy's house, asked my dad to get me one, and I would ride around the soccer fields when he played soccer. And then, yeah, I just kind of went to the local motocross track and started doing national motocross races back home. Then maybe about 12, started the Motard series, and then just kind of saw that on the dirt I was relatively the same speed as most of the guys that I had been, you know, racing motocross with. But then when we got onto the tarmac, I was, you know, doing it a lot better than what the other guys were, and then just moved to the full the road racing side of things. And I was about 13, 14. And, you know, obviously, I didn't really think that I could actually make it as a professional racer one day. But I think what changed everything was when I qualified for the Red Bull Rookies Cup. That was kind of when I started thinking that I could actually do this, you know, progress to the stage now as a professional motorcycle rider and getting paid to do what I love doing.
It is amazing. A lot of racers never go into it thinking it's going to be a career, and it turns into one eventually just by, you know, by having success like you have. And I always wanted to take a poll and figure out how many racers and riders began on the PW50. There must be just, I don't even know if you could count that high.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody had one in the garage. It was either that or a little Honda 50 four-stroke that everybody in the neighborhood got to ride, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I think that, you know, looking, if you look back at most of the greats of motorcycle racing, whether it be motocross or superbikes, whatever, it's usually people starting off at a fairly young age and just, you know, and they're progressing and dedicating their whole life to it.
I'm a little bit jealous. So it seems like the kids now have the, what are they called, STACYC electric bikes, and they can start at 3 years old. They're already turning the gas and accelerating away and learning the fundamentals when most of us were just barely walking at that point.
Yeah, I mean, pushing those little plastic bikes around. Now they've got some electric-powered things. And I mean, it's really awesome to see, you know. And I don't just think that it's motorcycle racing. It's all forms of sport now. You see how young and how talented some of these kids are. I think it's really good for the future.
Yeah, I can't agree more. So you do a little moto in your spare time? You still ride motocross to train or do any off-road riding?
Yeah, I mean, motocross is definitely one of my biggest training tools. I know that it is pretty dangerous, to be honest. And, you know, last year I actually broke my collarbone doing motocross training, but before the preseason test, and actually had a missed barber last year. But, you know, I think that it's just one of those, you know, the high risk, high reward sort of deals. And, you know, like I said, I've been racing motocross since I was about 7. It's always been part of my life and my training. So I love it and I'm going to carry on doing it.
Definitely a great way to stay in shape. I agree. And it kind of forces you to do that. In other words, because you have to be strong and healthy to do that, let alone use it for the training aspect. So that's important. You guys hit a lot of venues throughout the season in Moto America, and you've made the circuit many, many times. Which event do you most look forward to, Matthew, when you head out for a new season?
Probably the Road Atlanta track for me and Chuck. You know, both of us live pretty close here. So does Ed as well. So it's kind of a home race for us. Even though we don't do too much testing there, it's always nice to have family and friends come over that you see outside of the motorcycle world. You know, so it's always nice to just see familiar faces.
Plus, you get to sleep in your own bed that weekend, which is always a bonus, right?
Yeah, no, it definitely helps. I mean, unfortunately, I'm probably about 1 hour 20 from the track, so I just stay at the hotel. But, you know, like I was saying, it definitely helps seeing the familiar faces and friends coming out. And it's always nice that it's usually the first race season for us.
Well, which is another added bonus. Well, Matthew, we're unfortunately running out of time, so I just want to take now to if there's any sponsors that you want to thank you, people who've helped you along the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, firstly, just to say thank you to you know, Trig. He's the main man behind the Westby Racing team, and like I've said, you know, he's given all of us the opportunity to kind of showcase our talents, whether it's from me riding the bike to Ed Herschel working on the setup. Dustin, Ollie, you know, Johnny, Chuck, it's all just really awesome just being part of this whole deal and team that we've got here. Thank you to Bell Helmets and Speedy Leathers. I've pretty much been with them both for 5 years now. And touch wood, I've been kept safe since. So just a shout out to them and just everyone that you know, watches the Moto America Superbike Racing. Just thank you guys. I know that the series has been growing and it's really looking forward to the future.
exciting to see, and we're really looking forward to this season and watching you go out and conquer. It's been great so far, so we look forward to the next round. Thanks again, Matthew, for joining us on Pit Pass Moto, man. I appreciate it.
Hey there, guys. Thank you so much. Keep well.
We'd like to thank Matthew Skultz for being on Pit Pass today. And this week's Pit Pass trivia question was, who has the most Isle of Man TT wins and how many? The answer is, of course, Joey Dunlop with 26 wins, followed closely by John McGinnis with 23, and he's closing fast. Such a great race, the Isle of Man TT. It is canceled for 2021, but look for it in 2022. They're planning to hold the event in May through June next year. We've got upcoming events, MotoGP racing, the Grand Prix de France, which is held at the Le Mans Circus, the Bugatti Circuit, which is May 16th. We've got Moto America coming to Virginia International Raceway, May 21st through 23rd. American flat track racing at Texas Motor Speedway, Fort Worth, Texas, on May 22nd. GNCC racing, the John Penton, held at Millfield, Ohio, will be May 22nd through 23rd. AMA Outdoor Motocross begins May 29th at Fox Raceway in Pala, California. Thank you again to our guests for being with us today, and thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app so you can never miss an episode. And if you have a moment, please rate and review us. We really appreciate it. Make sure you're also following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit pitpassmoto.com where you can check out our blog. This has been a production of Evergreen Podcasts. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Halverson, Chris Bishop, producer Leah Longbreak, and audio engineer Eric Coltnow. I'm Dave, and we'll see you next week.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.